Jesus, whom the Gentiles worshipped at your glad epiphany, now to you with God the Father and the Spirit, glory be. Amen. I once saw a fridge magnet in one of those overpriced stores in Manuka that sell expensive, useless gifts to people with more money than sense. I mean, do you really need a banana capsule to stop your banana being damaged in your lunchbox? And do you then take it with you to Coles every time you shop to make sure your bananas fit in it? The fridge magnet portrayed a man standing behind a lounge that he pulled out from the wall, and his hands were raised and he had a duster in one hand and a huge grin on his face, and it said in big letters at the top, "I've found Jesus!" And then in rather smaller print on the bottom it said, "He was behind the sofa all the time." Now, my first impression was it was sacrilegious. My second, more reasoned impression was that it was actually quite clever, because Jesus is indeed present all around us and it is very easy not to look for him. And my third was I wasn't going to pay $10 for a fridge magnet. My elderly and much-loved copy of the Oxford Dictionary of the Christian Church says that epiphany comes from the Greek, meaning manifestation. My Oxford English Dictionary defines manifestation as an event, an action, or object that clearly shows or embodies something abstract or theoretical. My trustees, Roger Thesaurus, gives comparison words such as revelation, unfolding, discovering, and daylight. So my second impression of the fridge magnet was actually an epiphany, even if it was a very little one. Now, I go into much detail on the meaning of the word epiphany, not to show you that preachers don't just look up their sermons on the internet, and my joke isn't just to wake you up. What I hope to do is to broaden your understanding of what this season of epiphany is all about. In our tradition, we traditionally think of it as the wise men going to see the little boy Jesus, the little king, and because they give him gifts and they worship him, it's a symbol of the fulfilling of the Isaiah prophecy that we read, that the world would come to recognize the kingdom of Israel, which we now understand to be the kingdom of God, and Jesus would be king not just of the people of Israel, but of the whole world. And yes, that is what it means. For us who are Gentiles and outsiders, it's an amazing understanding of God's grace. But there's actually more than one epiphany in this story. All of them are important for us to understand, and all of them help us know more of God's grace and mercy in our lives. Let's go back to my much-loved copy of the Oxford Dictionary of the Christian Church. It tells us that the Feast of the Epiphany came from the Eastern tradition of the Church, which we now call the Orthodox tradition usually, and it's celebrated in honour of the Lord's baptism. It's certainly ancient. Clement of Alexandria reported Gnostic sects observing a feast in honour of Christ's baptism within 200 years of the beginning of the church. By the 4th century, it ranked with Easter and Pentecost as one of the three principal festivals of the church. Note the absence of Christmas mentioned here. One of the main features of the festival was blessing the baptismal water. It was introduced into the Western tradition of the church from which we come in the 4th century, but it lost that flavour, that character of the baptism of Christ, which it still holds, by the way, in the Orthodox Church until today. And instead it became associated with the story that we know of the manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles in the person of the Magi. Sounds very official. The baptism of our Lord has become only one Sunday of the whole season, the first Sunday of Epiphany. Now, when you think of it, that is a sermon on its own, defining Jesus' baptism as the Epiphany. Unfortunately, it shan't be today, maybe next year, but certainly I would love you to go home and take that as the question that you ponder this week. How do we explain the baptism of our Lord as Epiphany? Now, this little bit of history for me broadens the whole concept of what we're invited to discover in this season. Going back to the definition of manifestation, an event, action, and object, we see the event, we say, is the birth of Jesus, the action, the worship of the wise men, and the object in the bringing about of the new kingdom. And it's embodied, of course, through Jesus, who is both human baby and God with us. Now, never be lured into thinking that the gospel writers were simple, uneducated men who wrote their stories so badly that they didn't even match. They are well thought out, strategic tales written not only to tell the story of Jesus, but to interpret the meaning of God with us as well. As I've said before, Matthew was Jesus' Jewish friend who was trying to find the meaning for the wild adventures that he went on by looking in a place where he trusted to find meaning in life, the Jewish scriptures. He found it there and he wrote his account for other Jewish people to show them that Jesus was the one foretold in scripture. Matthew realized that Jesus didn't only come to fulfill the scripture for the Jews, but for all people. And what better way to introduce that into his story than by recording the very first people to search for Jesus and find him as outsiders, Gentiles, to use the Jewish turn of phrase. It's not that there were no shepherds or no old men and women in the temple, as Luke records, but Matthew wants to point out that people from all lands were searching for meaning in life. And just as he turned to the Jewish scripture for meaning and found it in Jesus, some astrologers from far away who searched for meaning in the stars found it in Jesus. So although Jesus came to fulfill the Jewish scripture to the people of Israel, he also came for all the people of the earth. As Paul says in Ephesians, the Gentiles have become our fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise of Christ Jesus through the gospel. Now, this story has other interesting epiphanies, other revelations for us to understand. Isaiah says, "Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of God has risen upon you. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord." Those wise men and their searching were part of scripture. They were part of God's plan. They didn't just wander around blindly following a random star. They were led by God to find Jesus. But even though they were led by the star, they couldn't find Jesus without the scripture. The chief priests and the scribes had to find the telling in the book of Micah to show the child would be in Bethlehem. So if you think carefully into the story, you realise that, yes, the wise men couldn't fulfil their search without the scriptures, but also the Jewish leaders couldn't understand that their king had been born without the questions of the outsiders. They needed each other. They needed each other to find the fulfilled scripture. They needed each other to see Jesus. What can that tell us today about the people that we meet? We need each other to see Jesus. The search for the meaning of life is indeed shared by all people, and we can find greater understanding in our quest when we're open to the questions of other traditions. Is that not a really cool thing? A little epiphany for us today? The wise men came searching for the King of the Jews, a king they would worship. And as I said last week, the psalm from last week described the king with kingly qualities of justice and righteousness as a defender and a deliverer of the poor and needy, of those who had no one else to help them. That too is an epiphany for us, because the wise men found a man who called himself king, Herod. And last week we heard how he reacted to the news of the birth of a king by killing innocent children. The revelation, is that the action of a true king? Is that the action of a just and righteous king? The season of Epiphany will tell us stories of Jesus which show us just what Emmanuel, God is with us, means. And today's stories invite us to question, who are included? Who are important? And who are really in power? And most importantly of all, how do we respond?